Gong, heard of Wollongong? Anyone from the Gong here today? No, that's a rare thing. Just about everywhere I go, there's someone from Wollongong. But it's a real honour to be here this morning. I have to apologise. My wife wasn't able to make it this morning, Amanda, and I feel a little bit lost when she's not around. But her father, Charlie, had a massive, a seizure on Thursday night of this week, and they live in Wandon in the eastern suburbs there. So we had to rush down a little bit earlier, and he came out of ICU yesterday, but he's still in a very bad way. So appreciate your prayers for my wife's father, Charlie, at this time, that he'll pull through and God will really touch his life. He's a long history of Salvation Army service. He used to lead the band in the Salvation Army, so he's got a strong faith. And that'll stand very strong for him as in this time. But I just want to thank you for inviting us along today. I'm going to ask one of the music guys. I left my capo in my guitar case. It's a gold-coloured capo. If you could grab that for me out of my guitar case, that'd be fantastic. All right, but I've got to apologise a little bit as well. Like Pastor Chris this morning, I don't have much of a voice. About a week ago, I had no voice at all. So it's slowly coming back. If I sound a little bit like Joe Cocker bungee jumping, or Bob Dylan on a bad night, extend a bit of grace. It's tending to do its own thing this morning, as Chris can sympathise a little bit. But I want to do a couple of songs and just share a bit from God's Word this morning. And I thought I'd start off today. Let me get plugged in. Just mute that while. All right. This is a little song which is a bit of test me for me. A little blues song. Let's play blues in church. All right, that's two. I'll get away with that. Okay. It's a song which tells a bit of what God's done in my life. And you can clap your feet and stomp your hands at this one if you like. Go something like this. Here we go. To happen to you as Jesus in, then there's nothing to compare with the things that start to begin. Whatever you were into, whatever puts you out, he always ends up journeying you inbound, as he does. No one seems to listen to you as Jesus in, then the things you have to say will make them set in. All the things you teach you will be the things you say. You know his word is in their hearts to stay. All right, here we go. See, you've looked around, you've looked out in the country, you've been looking down in that town. There's no need to look around, my friend, if you just aren't looking up. Let his love start to fill, let his joy start to fill, let his peace start to fill your cup. All right.
Right, that's
better than a second cup of coffee in the morning. Warm you up. Fantastic. You know, I was just thinking this week as we were driving down to Melbourne about some of the incredible experiences that we go through in our life. And I think for me, one of the biggest experiences that changed my life was being there at the birth of my first child. And I know for fathers, if you think about that, it really is nothing to compare with the experience you go through. For mothers, it's a little bit interesting as well. But for guys, it's like an incredible change in your life. And for me as a young man, looking back then at that time in my life and seeing my first daughter born into the world, it was like my faith went to a new level as I saw God in his creation. And today I believe it takes more faith to believe that God doesn't exist than to believe he does. Because I can see him all around me. His steadfast love is new every day. And I guess at this special morning, which is Resurrection Morning, where we remember the incredible sacrifice that Jesus gave, that God gave in giving his son for us so that he can pay the price for our sin, that we can know forgiveness and healing and freedom and have eternity that is sure of going to heaven. All of those wonderful promises because God gave his only son. One of the most powerful verses in scripture is John 3:16. And many of us remember that scripture that for God so loved this world, for God so loved you, for God so loved this nation of Australia, that he gave his only son, that if you believe in him, you will not perish but receive eternal life. And I guess as an earthly father, I wanted to write in a small way from an earthly father's heart what God's heavenly father's heart is like for you and I. And dads, own this song for yourselves. Maybe close your eyes and just listen to the words of this song. It's a little song called Stevie Lee. It goes like this. I was there when you were born. I was there when your eyes opened. When I held you in my arms, I felt a part of me had woken. How could I remain the same? Staring at creation, first time I spoke your name, had a revelation that you confirmed again, God is real to me. You've helped this simple man believe. Pigtails and bows to wear. Yours is a world of expectation. Simple things we do and say seem to need an explanation. And pray to God for balance. Love and direct you to teach you what is right from wrong. Wisdom will protect you, and I know I have succeeded. Love your dad in heaven more than me. Only he can set you free. Times I treasure holding hands and walking by the ocean. He shared your simple hopes and dreams, and I felt such strong devotion. But I know the day is coming. You walk out my door. If you follow God where he leads,
never ask for more than you. You never know how much you mean to me. You've helped this poor man in need, Stevie Lee.
Growing up through high school in Wollongong, I guess like many of us, I had a best mate throughout my high school life. And my best mate was a guy called Imran Irfan. And he had a name like that because he was born in the nation of Pakistan. And we went to a very famous high school in Wollongong. And I know as soon as I say its name, you'll recognize what it is. You've all heard of it. And of course, I'm talking about Corrimal High. And the reason you've all heard of Corrimal High this morning is because we had a very famous Australian come from Corrimal High School. And, of course, our claim to fame up there is a guy called Norman Gunston. Heard of Norman Gunston this morning? Any fans? Got a few lookalikes I can see out the audience. But Norman was our claim to fame. But we were growing up in Corrimal High and we were best buddies. And the funny thing was we never talked about what we believed in. He was a committed Muslim and I was a committed Christian, even back then, 15, 16 years old. But we never discussed it. Do we reach one of those midterm breaks in year 10? And as we went away, we decided to look at the question of whether his God was the same as mine. And we went away, we came back at the time, and at the end of the time, the short break we had, he came running up to me and said, listen, I've talked to my parents, I've talked to my religious instructors, I've read through the Quran, and I believe that your God is the same as mine, because we believe in Jesus Christ, we believe he was a great prophet, we follow a lot of his teachings. So I don't think there needs to be a division between us on the basis of our faith. But the problem was, as a young 15-year-old, maybe for the first time, I came back with a totally different answer. Because I read in John 14 where Jesus Christ said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through me. And also in Acts 4 it says, salvation is found in no one else. There is no other name. No other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. You know, God's word is so black and white. There is no gray at all. Through Jesus Christ coming and living a perfect life, dying on the cross for you and I, rising again, going to be with God in glory, what we're celebrating today. Through what Jesus has done, we can receive forgiveness of our sin. We can receive eternal life, have no fear of death. You know, but I know that this world is turning its back on God in greater and greater ways. Even my hometown of Wollongong, a number of years ago, we saw some incredible changes. We saw this massive monolith for construction opened, a massive Buddhist temple, the largest Buddhist temple in the southern hemisphere, 7 stories high. I read somewhere the year that it opened, 50,000 Buddhists converged on Wollongong to open the place. It's had an incredible impact upon my city, if not the rest of this nation. But I want to say this morning, I don't care what decisions the Lord Mayor of Wollongong makes. I don't care what decisions our politicians in Canberra make. I don't care what next movie Kevin Costner or Mel Gibson or Brad Pitt, whoever brings out. I don't care what Cleo or Cosmo or Dolly, whatever says about it. Jesus Christ is still the way, he is still the truth, and he is still the life. And no one comes to God but through him. No matter what you've heard before today, you need to know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You know, one of the things I love about this book, the Bible, is that this is a living word. It's not just a whole lot of sayings and writings between these two covers. This is a living word. And the word of God is meant to do more than just inform us. It's meant to transform us. And the word of God will either keep you from sin or sin will keep you from the Bible. And we read the word of God described a number of different ways throughout Scripture. We read in James chapter 1 that when you read the word of God, it's like looking at yourself in a mirror and seeing yourself what you're really like for the very first time. And it says in James chapter 1, when you look into the mirror of God's word, you can do one of two things. It says you can walk away, forget what you've seen and do nothing about it. And God says it's very foolish to do that. Or secondly, he says you can keep looking steadily into God's word. This word that is designed to set you free and use it to bring change in your life. And God says he will bless you if you do that. We read in Hebrews that the word of God is like a two-edged sword. And Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, talks about the word of God being sharper than the sharpest knife. And I think back to those early Demtel ads. I might be showing my age a bit this morning, but those early, where they're advertising the ginseng kitchen knives. You remember those ads on TV? And you saw the guys cutting through the tin cans and the car tires. Supposed to be the sharpest kitchen knives in the world. Or I think back to that scene on the movie The Bodyguard, going back a number of years now, but there was a scene there where the character took the samurai sword off the wall, and he took the silk scarf off the lady's neck, and he threw it in the air. And with the weight of that silk scarf falling on the blade of that sword, it was sliced in two. Well, it says in Hebrews, the word of God is full of living power. It is sharper than the sharpest knife, cutting deep into our innermost thoughts and desires. It exposes us for what we really are. You know, you can hide nothing from God. We're very good at hiding things from each other, aren't we? Sometimes even the closest person in your life, you can hide things from, but you can hide nothing from God. He knows your desires. He knows your dreams. He knows your plans. He knows that sin that's hidden in your life. And early in the morning, men, when we grab that brush and drag it through our hair, another 87 hairs fall on the ground. Even the record books of heaven are adjusted because it says, even the hairs of your head are numbered. You know, there's a very powerful verse in Romans chapter 1. I was thinking about this verse a number of years ago at Easter time. And on Good Friday, I was driving down to the bottom of Western Australia there to a place called Albany for a series of outreaches. And I was driving along and I was thinking to myself, why do we call this day good? Why do we call this Good Friday? The day we remember the incredible torture and crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why call a day like that good? And then I realized that the cross of Jesus Christ is the center of the gospel message. And the gospel means good news. And that's why I believe we call it Good Friday. But this verse says in Romans, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. This is what the Bible says about the cross. It says in 1 Corinthians, I know very well how foolish the message of the cross sounds to those who are on the road to destruction. But we who are being saved recognize this message as the very power of God. You know, there's a warning here in this verse, because the Bible teaches us there are only two roads in life. One road leads to God, the other to Satan. One road leads to heaven, the other to hell. One road leads to light, the other to darkness. You know, the gospel is very simple. It's not a very easy life to live, but it's a very simple message. And God is asking you this morning, what road is your life on? It's on one of two roads. The Bible says in another verse in the Bible, in Colossians, he made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of his blood on the cross. And this includes you who were once so far away from God. It says in Peter, he personally carried away our sins on his body on the cross so we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. Jesus said in John 12, when I am lifted up on the cross, I will draw everyone to myself. You know, you can go anywhere in the world today and you'll see the image of the cross. I used to wonder why that was. You know, every part of the world, through Asia and Africa, through the Middle East, through Europe, even this morning, many of us are wearing jewelry with a cross on it. Why is the cross so prevalent today? And I believe it's because God wants to remind us again and again that there is forgiveness, there is healing, there's salvation found nowhere else but at the foot of the cross. You know, there's a very powerful verse in the Bible, and this is a very significant verse of Scripture. I want you to listen to this. This is a very powerful verse. In Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it says these words. It says, when Adam sinned, sin entered the entire human race. When Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. This verse is saying through one man, sin entered the world. That man was Adam. Adam and Eve were sinners. Their children were sinners. Their children were sinners. Right on down to you and I. And this morning, we are all sinners before God. Every one of us. You know, the Bible says very clearly there's not a single person in all the world who is always good and never sins. The Bible says the person who keeps all of God's laws but breaks it one time, just once, is guilty of breaking all of God's law. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Friends, we're all sinners this morning. And it's not a natural thing, this thing called sin. It's like a disease. It's like a cancer in our lives. God never intended we have it. You know, we don't like to use that word. It's not a very popular word today. It's an old word. We like the modern jargon. But this morning, I want to use that old word because the Bible from cover to cover wants us to know where we stand before God. You know, there's no cure for many diseases right now. There's no cure for many viruses. But I want to tell you, there is a cure for your sin, and it's the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen? You know, when you talk about sin in Australia in 2019, Aussies take two positions. There's two things they say. The first thing they say is that sin just doesn't exist. They say, oh, sin, that's something created by religion to make you feel bad, to make you believe what they believe. Don't believe that stuff. Go and do whatever you want in life. As long as you don't hurt anyone else, you can do whatever you like. But friends, you need to know that this morning that God believed that your sin was so real that he gave his most treasured possession, his only son, to die a cruel death on a cross to pay the price for your sin. He replaced you. Your sin was put on Christ that day. And he purchased for you a robe of righteousness, the Bible says. So when you come to Christ and say, God, I'm sorry. Lord, I've sinned. Lord, I'm a sinner. I repent of my sin. God puts upon you a robe of righteousness, the Bible says. And whenever God looks at you, he doesn't see your sin anymore. He sees that robe of righteousness purchased by Christ. Friends, the second thing that you need to know is that God believed that your sin is so real that he warns us again and again throughout Scripture. There is a place called hell we'll go to if we don't turn from our sin. You say, Doug, do you believe in hell? I want to tell you that I surely do, because the Bible teaches it. And no one spoke about hell any more than Jesus Christ himself. But just as much as I believe in hell, and it should be avoided by everyone, I believe in the beautiful promised place called heaven. Because the Bible teaches us 473 times how real heaven is in great detail. It's a real hope. You can have that today. You can have that assurance of when you die, you're going to heaven to spend eternity with God. It's a hope you can have even as you're standing over the grave of a loved one with tears running down your face. You've got that deep-seated joy of knowing your eternity is secure in God. You know, friends, the second thing that Aussies say when you talk about sin is as long as you can do enough good things in your life, God's got to understand, you've got to see that you're a good bloke, and he has to let you into heaven. You know, we had some builders in my home a number of years ago, and I began to talk to one of them, and he asked me what I did. I told him that I traveled and shared the gospel. He said, ah, you're a preacher. And he told me about his life, how he grew up in the Catholic school system, and some of the things that happened in his lifetime. And he concluded with this. He said, anyway, I believe as long as you can keep a couple of the commandments, you'll be okay. What he was saying is this, as long as you can try hard enough, do the best you can. Don't hurt anyone else, but do the best you can in life. God's got to see that, and he has to let you into heaven. Friends, don't be blind today. The Bible is very clear that the entry to heaven is strictly reserved for those who fulfill the conditions of God's word. If you want to go to heaven when you die, you better start reading the map, because the doorway to heaven is the cross of Jesus Christ. There is no other way. You know, you might go out in society and join as many charities and do as many wonderful things and help as many people as you can find time to do. And that's fine as a citizen, but it doesn't make you a citizen of heaven. And maybe in evidence that you are, friends, there is only one way, and that's via the cross of Jesus Christ. You know, my wife and I are Christians. My parents are Christians. My wife's parents are Christians. But there is no way that my daughters can inherit Christianity from me. They have to each individually come to the foot of the cross for themselves and receive Jesus Christ as Lord. And this morning, you need to come to the foot of the cross and receive him yourself. You say, Doug, what have I got to do? How can I be sure? And the Bible is very clear about this. It says in a powerful verse in Ephesians, for by grace you are saved through faith. And this not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Friends, we are saved by God's grace. And grace means unmerited. You can't earn it. You don't deserve it. There's nothing you can do. We all need to come the same way. You know, if we could get to heaven by the things we do, be like me getting up there and walking around Peter and James and John, all who got there by the grace of God, saying, hey, I got here on my own. Look at all the things I did when I was down on earth there. I traveled and I prayed and I taught my kids to know the Lord and all these things I did when I was down on earth. Now, when I get to heaven and they ask me what the password is, I'm going to say the grace of God via the cross of Jesus Christ. Friends, there is no other way. You know, the Bible says very clearly, you say, Doug, what have I got to do? How can I be sure of going to heaven? Friends, you need to know that the Bible is very specific. And there's three things we each must do. The first thing the Bible says is that we all need to come and repent of the sin that's in our lives. You know, the Bible says in a very powerful verse, when I read this verse as a teenager, it was like the Bible opened up to me. I finally understood what God was saying. It's a powerful verse in 1 John 1, verse 9, and we all know it. I want to read the verse before it, 1 John 1, verse 8. It says, if we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But 1 John 1, 9 is the answer. It says, but if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from 50% of our unrighteousness. That's good news, isn't it? No, it doesn't say that. It says he will cleanse us from 99%, but no, it doesn't say that either. It says he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, what's the greatest definition you've ever heard of being right before your Creator God? Right here in this verse. To be cleansed, to be totally clean. Don't you want that in your life? Everything you've done in your life, to be wiped clean, to have a fresh start. I know many of us here today, because I meet people after meetings, and they come up and say, Doug, I try and pray. I try to make God part of my life, but it's like there's nothing there. It's not real. I don't feel a thing. Friends, it's your sin that's coming between you and God. Come to God this morning, because it says here, he will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You'll have a fresh start. Everything you've ever done will be wiped clean if you come before God sincerely today. The second thing the Bible says is we need to come and receive Jesus Christ, not just as Savior, but as Lord of our life. It says in Romans chapter 10, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it's by believing in your heart you're made right with God. It's by confessing with your mouth that you are saved. Confess, believe, commit your life to God this morning. And the last thing you must do is from today on, live for God. Three separate gospels say these words. It's only those that endure till the end that will be saved. Friend, it's not the faith you start with. It's the faith you finish with that saves you. If you're not sure today that your sins are forgiven, if you're not sure that you're right before God, you might say, Doug, you know, I've gone to church all my life. I'm a member of the church. I help in the church. I'm one of the leaders in the church. That's not what I asked you. I ask you this morning, have you been to the foot of the cross? I was thinking this morning, I was driving out here about a little story I heard about this couple that came from the middle of Australia, a little country town way out back. And they told everyone that they're going to fly down to Melbourne, the big city, and they were going to see the movie, Mamma Mia, the musical. And we're going to get tickets and we're going to see that movie. And everyone was saying, oh, that's fantastic. We're dying to see that musical. So they got in their plane, they flew down to Melbourne. And to their horror, they found that every seat and every session had been totally sold out. Even in the matinees had been sold out. And they were standing outside of the theater just totally shocked. What are we going to do when we get back to our country town with the big build-up we've had? We can't even get to see it. And as they were standing outside the theater, they saw people coming out. And they noticed a very strange thing. They were getting their ticket stubs and throwing them in the gutter, in the bins. And they got an idea. They went over and they picked up a couple of ticket stubs. They went inside and they bought a program. And they flew home to their country town singing Mamma Mia, Ring Ring, and all the ABBA songs. They had the tickets. They had the program from the cinema. But the trouble was they hadn't seen the musical. And that's how it is for many of us. We come to church. We sing the songs. We raise our hands. But have you been to the foot of the cross? And you need to know this morning without a doubt that you are right before God. Even if you're someone that's been a Christian so-called all your life, you need to make sure. You say, Doug, what have I got to do? And I'm going to show you right now what you need to do before God. I'd like us right now just to bow our heads and close our eyes before God. Right now, every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord God, I want to thank you this morning that you are alive and well in 2019. And Lord, you're in the business of changing lives. Lord, I thank you today for the miracles that are here. Lives that were going one direction, they called to you, and today they're going a totally different direction. Lord, for what you've done in my life so many years ago, when I called on your name, and as your word says, who the Son sets free is free indeed. Lord, I'm a new creation today. No one can tell me you're not real because I know you are. You've changed my life. And Lord, I believe that your heart is just as your word says, that none perish, that everyone who calls on your name will be saved. Lord, I just pray right now, in the name of Jesus, that you would draw those this morning that need to come to you. Lord, not to a man, not to a church, to the foot of your cross. Lord, that this day were the turning point in their lives. Lord, not next week, not next month, not way down the track in our life. We've had a chance to live it up a bit. Lord, today is the day. Never do you say wait when it comes to salvation. Never do you say tomorrow. You say now is the time. Today is the day. There's great danger and delay. We may lose our reasoning powers tomorrow. We may be dead tomorrow. We may not hear the gospel tomorrow. Lord, today is the day. Lord, I just pray right now you'll draw those here that need to come to you, that this day will be the turning point in their lives. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's just keep our heads bowed, every eye closed, just for a moment, please. Still as we can, every eye closed. You know, I believe today is an exciting day. Right across the hall, God's been speaking to different ones. It's a wonderful time between you and God. And right now, I'm talking to two sorts of people in this hall. Firstly, there's those you've never said yes to God. You've never reached out and said, yes, Lord. I want to have what I'm hearing about. I want to have what my friends have got. I've got a lot of questions, but by faith, I give my life to you. You've never done that. Well, today is the day. Give your life to Jesus today for the very first time. Secondly, there's those maybe one time you did say yes to God, but there's a distance. There's a chasm between you and God right now. If I was to come down and stand next to you and ask you that question, listen, if you were to die today, none of us know. None of us know. If you were to die this day, would you be 100% sure, have no doubt of spending eternity with God? If your answer is, well, I just don't know. I can't say yes and be totally certain. I just don't know. I want to tell you, and I don't know is a no. And I don't know is a no. Because it says in God's word, his sheep know his voice. And you need to know his voice when he calls you. You need to know that you know you're one of his. Have no doubt. Because you're in a dangerous road, my friend. It says in God's word, you're a road that could lead to death. Give your life to Jesus afresh this morning. What I'm going to do right now, I'm going to say a very simple prayer. And I'm going to invite those two sorts of people. First time or making a fresh start today, I want you to say the words of this prayer after me. Not out loud, just in your own mind, your own heart, quietly to yourself, but really mean it. Really own this prayer as you say it. And after that, we're going to stand together. The worship team are going to lead us in a song, a chorus. And as we stand, I'm going to ask those that said the prayer to do something. It's going to take a bit of courage, a bit of guts. I'm going to ask you to leave your chair or be standing and join us here at the front. Just walk forward and stand here at the front. You say, Doug, that's a heavy thing to do. Why do I have to do that? You know, it says in God's word, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. If you deny me, I'll deny you also. Listen, I'm going to challenge you today to do something maybe you've never done, and that's to forget about that person next to you. Forget about the person behind you down the road. Say to yourself, I don't care what anyone says. I don't care what anyone thinks. From today on, I'm going to stand for what I believe in. I'm going to stand for Jesus today. You do that and God will bless you as you come. We're going to have many stand here at the front saying yes to God. You're not on your own. Many others are going to walk forward as well. It's a wonderful time between you and God. Most are praying for you right now. So I'm going to say that prayer right now. And if that's you, making a fresh start or for the very first time saying yes to God, say these words of this prayer after me. Quietly to yourself, but really mean it right now. Come on. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you came and gave your life for me. Lord God, I thank you that through your death and resurrection, I can have life. Lord, this morning I come to you and I confess my sin. Lord, cleanse me. Forgive me. In Jesus' name. And from today on, I'm going to walk your way. Lord, be my Lord. Be my Savior. Be my companion and guide from this day on. In Jesus' name, amen.